Compared to my heart's desire, the sea is a drop. Adelia Prado, The Alphabet in the Park.
For most of my life, I have had a strange fear of water. I am floating on my back in the sea, drifting slowly away from a sandy summer morning. A June sun warms my cheeks, shoulders relaxed, arms out, toes just inches above the water. I am rocked back and forth by soft waves. I look up to absorb the sky's color. It is pale compared to the deep ocean blue that carries me further into the moment. I float still on my back, now in the middle of a mass of Atlantic, or Pacific, I'm not sure which. Gray clouds swirl above me. Out here, except for the pound of the waves in my ears, it is noiseless, lonely, void. I feel the water's huge presence toss me, a piece of human driftwood. Head back, palms up, I am on top of the water even as I watch an enormous barge coming toward me, out of nowhere. The bottom of the ship is as flat as the surface of the ocean, and within seconds it overtakes me, dunking me into the deep as it proceeds forward. Soon I am completely submerged, and I look for a place to come up for air, but there is none. The barge dwarfs the ocean's surface, and I cannot see the clouds. But I don't panic. I don't fight or punch or grope for anything to save me. My heart doesn't beat faster, and my stomach doesn't flip over with fear. My hands simply feel the water as if it were a blanket, and I continue to sink, motionless, under the barge, away from air. I swallow and the saliva tastes of salt. My eyes sting from staring at the barge above me, which fills the space where the sky once was. Thoughts clog my mind. I will never again feel the sun on my face, or hear the whispers of the waves, or touch my husband's hand. I know there is no way out. I know I have lost. I shake my head hard, groggy. Again I force my head, left, then right, and finally my eyes open, fixed on a pillow, a lamp, a bedpost. Terror streams into the early morning room the way shafts of sunlight did in the afternoon. Sweat lines my face, and my hands tremble. My body groans, knowing it's not time to let go of sleep just yet. But when my eyelids drop, the barge is pushing me underwater again, so I force myself awake. Sleep is supposed to give you life, not steal it. My husband and I had joined friends at a beachside cottage for a reprieve from New York's crowded life. Yesterday we built sandcastles and pyramids, ate peaches that felt as soft as the terry cloth towels we lay on, and laughed at the waves that rolled over our toes. One friend floated in the sea. Obviously, the image stayed in my head as I went to bed that night, and the image haunts me even now. Why did I feel so little emotion when the danger of the water was so great? When the barge swept over me and cut off any connection to air, why was I passive, resigned, limp? Why did I not fight for my life? The questions, not the ocean, were the most terrifying aspect of the dream. Not the fear of being lost at sea, or the enormous power of the water, or even the risk of drowning. No, I had lost my passion for living, and there was no greater terror to me than indifference toward being alive.